This morning is February 10th of 2019. The title of our message is Jesus is Convicted. The text is Luke 23:17-25. Where do we find ourselves in the continuing study of Luke's recorded facts? Who has God written into his grand drama for us today? And what does this show us about his love for us? So where are we? Who is in the drama? And what's this got to do with us? My outline ended up number one, Barabbas, number two, Pilate, number three, the crowd, number four, Jesus. What's the symbolism of each of these people? They all symbolize something in this grand drama. How do they relate to our lives? Do these people 2019 years ago relate to our lives today? I think they do. How do their actions affect us? Do they have an effect? I believe they do. The New American Standard Bible in Luke 23:17 tells us, Pilate was obligated to release to them at the feast one prisoner at Passover. But they cried out all together, saying, Away with this man and release to us Barabbas. Now he is the one who had thrown into prison for an insurrection made in the city and for committing murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again. And they kept crying out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! And he said to them a third time, Why? What evil has this man done? I have found no guilt in him demanding death. Therefore I will punish him and release him. But they were insistent, with loud voices asking that he be crucified. And their voices began to prevail. And Pilate pronounced sentence that their demand be granted. And he released the man they were asking for, who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder. And he delivered Jesus to their will. So, number one, Barabbas. What is the symbolism of Barabbas? Who is he to us today? And what have other people taught you about Barabbas? Has anyone ever taught you or asked you to figure out what's the symbolism of this man? Who is he to us today? So, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 7, the Bible says, The man named Barabbas had been in prison for insurrections and had committed murder in that insurrection. So Barabbas is guilty of leading a riot and murder. A on your outline, Pilate released one prisoner at Passover. One. What is the symbolism of this? Who is this man to us today? And why just one man? Have you ever thought that through? One man is pardoned and released who is sentenced to be crucified that day. What's his symbolism? What do you think? What is God trying to show us here? Do you believe God has a plan? Do you believe he's working from a blueprint? That all of this is planned out and there is actually a point to this man and his release? I do. I believe before the foundation of the world, God decided on this day Barabbas would be pardoned by the governor. So be on your outline. Who? Who is Barabbas? Barabbas is the one that's guilty of what Jesus is accused of. You see that? Why did God do it that way? Why did God take somebody who was actually guilty of the offense that the high priest lied and said Jesus did? I mean, it's no coincidence that that's what the high priest said Jesus did. And it's no coincidence that that is what Barabbas did. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 14, Pilate said to them, You brought Jesus to me as one who incites the people to rebellion. But having examined him, I found no guilt in this man regarding these charges which you make against him. So do you see, Jesus is accused of something he didn't do. But Barabbas clearly is the one who did it. So what did Barabbas do to receive the governor's pardon? You know what a governor's pardon is. Oftentimes when a governor's leaving office and he's not going to be reelected, in the last few hours or the last day, he will do executive pardons for people. Presidents do that as well. Mr. Nixon was one of the famous ones. But when someone is given a pardon, it's as if they never did the crime. You realize that's what a pardon is. It's as if they were never found guilty and charges were never brought against them for the crime. They are completely pardoned. So what did Barabbas do to receive this? Did he have a bank of lawyers who had drawn up briefs and petitions, and they had bargained with Pilate, pleading for the life of Barabbas? So was it given to him as a free gift? You see that? Barabbas didn't do anything to deserve this pardon. It's a free gift that Pilate gave to him. So see on your outline, Barabbas is guilty of deserving death. Guilty is your blank. He's guilty. Barabbas deserved to die for the actions he had taken. Jesus will die in his place on his cross. See, that morning there were three men who were scheduled to be executed, crucified at noon. Barabbas and two of his friends who had done this insurrection. And Barabbas gets the get out of jail free card. What does all of this show us about God's love for us? You see, God pardoned Barabbas even though he was guilty. So what's the symbolism of his life? How does he relate to our lives today? And does his actions, or better yet, his lack of action, affect us? I think it does. Have you ever seen the movie Spartacus? Spartacus is a movie that's done in this period of time, and Spartacus is someone who leads a group of warriors, and they rebel against Rome, and for a period of time have quite a bit of victory, but in the end, the might and the power and the sheer numbers of Rome defeat them, and they're all surrounded by Roman soldiers, and the commander of the Romans says to the group, "If you will give me the man Spartacus, I will crucify him for all of these offenses, and I will let the rest of you go free. So, give me Barabbas." And Barabbas is standing there, Spartacus is standing there with that group of people, and before he can say a word, one of the men in the crowd says, "I am Spartacus." And then somebody off to his right shouts, "I am Spartacus." And then somebody in the back of the group, "I am Spartacus." And the next thing you know, everybody in the whole group claims to be Spartacus except Spartacus himself. And the Roman commander says, "Then fine, I will crucify all of you." And that's what happens. So the point of my illustration is, I am Barabbas. I am the one who is guilty. I am Barabbas. You, sitting here listening to me, you at home, listening on your computer, you are Barabbas. We are the ones who are guilty. I am the one who is guilty of doing wrong, and so are you. And without my rationalizations, without my pleading or my begging, God gave me freedom. His grace and mercy gave me the free gift of freedom, even though I am guilty. We are Barabbas, deserving God's free gift. Not because of anything we did, or our bargaining, or our fine briefs and petitions. No, it's just a free gift. Jesus took my guilt on him to the cross. He died in my place, the same way he died in Barabbas's place. So of all the people on our outline, Barabbas is the easiest of us to understand how it relates to us. Pilate, he'll cave into peer pressure, and that will be an ongoing struggle for us. And the crowd, well, the crowd is so easy to jump into with them. So let's take a look at Pilate. Pilate's in a tough spot. Rome had their eye on him and had their spies there watching him. There had been one riot, and we know who led it, Barabbas. Rome had sent word to Pilate, you either keep order in Judea or you're out of power. Insurrections cost us too much money. They're too expensive. So at any cost, no insurrections. So guess who was the leader of that riot that got Pilate into trouble with Rome? You guessed it. The blank is Barabbas. Barabbas is the one who got Pilate in trouble at Rome. And here he is standing there guilty. And Pilate has to do something. A on your outline, Pilate wanted to release Jesus. Your blank is wanted. He wanted to release Jesus. The Bible tells us in Matthew 27:23, Pilate said, why, what evil has he done? But they kept shouting, crucify Jesus, crucify him. In Matthew 27:19, while Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, have nothing to do with this man. Last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him. So Pilate didn't want to do this. That's clear. Like many men, his wife told him, don't do that. Don't do that. So why did Pilate do it? Why? Luke 23:22, and Pilate said a third time, why? What evil has this man done? B on your outline, wishing to satisfy the crowd. There's the key. Your blank is satisfy. Wishing to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas for them. C on your outline, Pilate pronounced sentence. Your blank is sentence. Jesus is to be crucified. Pilate knew Jesus was not guilty. He knew that. So Pilate will do something he does not want to do. His wife told him not to do, and he knows is wrong. Why? Why? How does that happen to someone? How does that happen to someone? You're going to do something you don't really want to do. Your wife told you it's a bad idea. You know it's wrong, and you're going to do it anyway. Why? What's the symbolism of Pilate's actions? How do they relate to our lives today? Does his action affect us today? I think it does. When the stakes are high, it's difficult to stand up for what's right. And it's easy to see our opponents as problems to be solved rather than people to be respected. If Pilate had been a man of real courage, he would release Jesus no matter what the consequences. But the crowd roared. And Pilate caved. There it is. The crowd roared. Pilate caved. And you can see he didn't want to do that. His wife told him not to do it. He knew it was a bad idea. And he can do it anyway. Why? Peer pressure. We are like Pilate when we know what the right thing to do is, but we do not do it. Don't ever in your life discount the effects of peer pressure around you. Peer pressure will have effect on your life and your Christianity. So let's take a look at the crowd, point number three. Do we see the crowd in our culture today? When I was young and a part of the Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Rock Falls, Illinois, each year we would do a week-long fundraising event. Each night there would be a big crowd and it was a minstrel show. A minstrel show. You know what those are. People put on blackface and they sing songs and dance, but the real stars of the minstrel show pretend to be black. And what would happen to us today? How much trouble could we get ourselves into if we did a minstrel show up at camp as a fundraiser? So, what's so different today? Why would we get in so much trouble for a minstrel show today? But when I was a kid, it was a very popular thing and it wasn't a problem. What's different? The crowd has changed. The crowd has changed. When I was waiting to board a plane in Atlanta not long ago, they started the boarding process with our military service people. I've never seen them do that before. And one young man worked his way through the crowd on one prosthetic leg. And someone in the crowd started clapping. Then others joined in, and I did as well. For this young man, as he walked all by himself down the catwalk, the first one to get to board the airplane. In 1972, I walked proudly through O'Hare International Airport in my Army dress uniform with my shiny jump boots. I had just got out of airborne infantry school and proudly wore wings on my chest of being one of the few that could accomplish that. As I walked through the airport, there were people standing there who threw cups of their urine on me as I walked by. Do our young men and women today love our country more than we did back then? More than I did back then. What's different? The crowd. The only thing that's different is the crowd. In the New American Standard Bible translation of Mark 15:8, it says, "The crowd went up and began asking Pilate to do what he had been accustomed to do for them. Pilate asked them, saying, 'Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?' Pilate was aware that the chief priest had handed Jesus over to them because of their envy." Pilate knew that. He's not dumb. He knows the political thing that's going on here. "But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to ask for the release of Barabbas to them instead." What had happened to the crowd that had welcomed Jesus just 1 week ago today in his triumphant entry that we call Palm Sunday? Just 1 week ago today, at this time of the day, the whole city stirred and laid down palm branches in their coats and cheered as Jesus went by. What's different? Matthew tells us in chapter 27, verse 17, "When the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, 'Whom do you want me to release to you?'" So A on your outline is that question. Whom is your blank do you want me to release to you? Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? B on the outline, the chief priest stirred up the crowd to release Barabbas. And it only takes one. It only takes one to stir up the crowd. One starts it and then others join in. Just like that young man getting on the plane. Someone started clapping for him, and then others of us joined in. But it was the same way that day. The chief priest said, "Barabbas." Then the other priest said, "Barabbas." And then other members of the Pharisees and Sadducees, "Barabbas, Barabbas." And soon everybody was cheering. So when I was in Honduras not long ago, I got to meet with the superintendent of the United Brethren in Christ denomination. Up here, we'd call him Bishop. His last request to me was to pray for them. Their denomination is forced to start over at ground zero. They had a lady elected into their power, who was the bishop, the superintendent, and she had an idea that on part of their property, she was going to build a water park. And that water park would generate so much revenue that it would fund all the things that they wanted to do in their denomination. And she invested all the money they had, and mortgaged all the property they had to accomplish that water park. Well, she didn't accomplish it, and now the denomination is beyond bankrupt. They are over $1 million, I think it was $1.2 million in debt because of her. If there had been one person on the leadership team, one man, one woman who would have stood up to her and said, you can't do that, they wouldn't be in this mess. But she always shouted down people, just like the crowd, saying, I'm the leader, I can do whatever I want, it's my opportunity and my legitimate right to do. If one person would have stood up to her, they would not be in that mess. But no one had the courage to stand up to her before it was too late. Now, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, verses 22 and 23, the Bible tells us, Pilate said to them, then what should I do with Jesus who is called Christ? All of them said, crucify him. Pilate said, why, what evil has he done? But they kept shouting all the more, saying, crucify him, crucify him. See on your outline, the crowd kept shouting all the more, saying, you guessed it, crucify him are your blanks. The crowd did that. So when are we a member of the crowd? When are we a member of the crowd? What's the symbolism of these people? How do they relate to our lives? Does their action affect us today? I think so. The crowd symbolizes evil in the world. They're the demons, the dogs, the group of people who cry out for the death of the innocent and the helpless. They're the people who jump to judgment before due process. And we see it all the time in our media. Someone hasn't had a trial before their peers, but someone in the media will come up with the idea that they are guilty of this, and all of a sudden there is so much widespread publicity about this person and what they did that you cannot find an impartial jury. But they're guilty before they ever go to trial, and many times they are not guilty. It was just a story that somebody wrote, and oftentimes it's not true. So anytime we don't look at people in love, think about this. Anytime you don't look at a person in love or speak to persons with grace and forgiveness or think of somebody and you don't extend mercy, we are a part of the crowd. Anytime you jump on, you're not loving them. You're not giving them grace and the benefit of the doubt. You're not extending forgiveness to them. You don't live in mercy. You're just like the crowd. That's wrong. They should be punished. In the Cowboys movies I used to watch as a kid, lynch mob. Now, the last point on our outline, number 4, is Jesus. The captain obvious point here is Jesus is the hero of the story. A, Pilate found no guilt in him deserving death. So your two blanks are no guilt. Jesus was tried 6 times by Jewish and Roman authorities, but was never convicted of any crime deserving death. 6 trials. Today, no one can find fault in Jesus Christ either. But, like Pilate and the religious leaders and the crowd, many refused to acknowledge him as Lord. B on your outline, Jesus was silent. The blank is silent. Have you noticed that he stands there without saying a word? Like the hero in many great stories, he doesn't need to speak a word because his actions are speaking louder than any words he could say. Look at my life. Look at what I'm doing. I don't have to defend myself. Being on the mainland on Honduras 2 weeks ago, where 90% of the people only speak Spanish and no English, communicating without words became necessary. And then getting on a ferry and going across a short distance of the Caribbean Sea, 12 miles, to an island where 90% of the people speak English, it really opened my eyes to how small the world is. When I was sitting on the island of Utilla, on the end of the dock in between scuba dives and snorkeling events, I'd look over across the Caribbean Sea and look at the mainland and think, I was just over there, 12 miles from here, and nobody spoke English. Now over here, everybody speaks English. What's the difference? On the mainland, 85% of the people were Catholic, and only 8% were Protestant. But on the island, 80% of the people have... Excuse me. On the island, 80% of the people have absolutely no interest in God at all. What a difference. See on your outline, Jesus volunteered for this. That big long blank is the word volunteered. What does this show us about his love for us? Jesus would do this for just one. What's the symbolism of each of these people? Do you understand them a little bit better now? How do they relate to our lives? Do you understand that these people and how they interacted do relate to us today? And does their actions affect us today? Do you see what God did with Barabbas? What Pilate did caving in to the crowd? What the crowd was able to accomplish? And what Jesus Christ did that day, all of these things affect us today. Let's pray.